I was basically abandoned by my ex-husband. So I had to get on my feet for my son. So I went to the flea markets and I found incredible stuff like Levi's jeans and jackets and everything for like €1.
Yeah.
Then I put it on online and I opened a store and I called
Amazing.
It Oh Lover Vintage.
All great thoughts are conceived by walking. In this Echo Walks podcast, we're going to be exploring those thoughts of some really interesting people. We're going to be talking about their passions, how they became the people that they were, and where they hope to walk to next. I'm Stevie Johnson, and I hope you'll take a walk with me. Today, we're here with the lovely fashion and lifestyle creator, Gabby Grodfrey. Best known for her vintage style. Gabby, it's lovely to meet you.
Me too. So nice to be here today.
Yeah. So I want to go back to the very beginning. You grew up in Calabasas, right?
I did.
Tell me about what that was like.
So we moved to Calabasas quite later in life. I was actually born in London. My dad is British, so we didn't go to Calabasas till I was like in my youth, you know, growing up. And then I went to high school there, and we used to call Calabasas the bubble.
Yeah.
Because when you are in Calabasas, you really don't leave. It's kind of like...
Well, I can imagine you wouldn't want to leave if you're in Calabasas,
right? It is
right?
Beautiful. It is beautiful. But then when I left and I came to England, because my parents moved back here when I came here at 16. So I left high school, I came back here. I was like, wow, I've made it outside of the bubble. There is so much more to life than Calabasas. So yeah, it is a beautiful place and I love going back to visit. But, you know, I'm kind of glad I got to get out.
Yeah, fair enough. And what was that shift like, being a 16-year-old coming from the US, high school there, then to kind of the UK, slightly worse weather, bit more doom and gloom?
Yeah, it was a really big culture shock, I gotta say. It's so different here. It took me a while to kind of adjust and get used to it, but then once I got used to the city vibe and the city mentality, I never looked back. This is my favorite.
Awesome. Yeah. Great. And so, content creation, how did you get into that?
Well, we're going to go back to 2013. I had my son. I was married. I was living in the south of France, in Antibes. And
you say France like a British person.
I do.
Not American.
Yeah. I get that a lot. Yeah. I just don't like France. Yeah. I don't like France. I lived there. I had a terrible marriage. I was kind of left. I was basically abandoned by my ex-husband. He came out to be a drug addict. He was drug dealing. He was doing all these things that I didn't know that he was. So he was living a double life, and I found out that he was living a double life after I had my son. So we split up. I have no idea where he is even to this day. He's gone. So I had to get on my feet for my son, and it was a really... felt very impossible, and it was very emotional. It was a crazy time. So I got in my car. I had a little Mini at the time, and I went up and down the Riviera to flea markets.
Okay.
So I went to the flea markets and I found incredible stuff like Levi's jeans and jackets and everything for like €1.
Yeah.
Just amazing stuff. So I started piling up all this stuff, and then I put it on online and I opened a store and I called
Amazing.
It Oh Lover Vintage.
Okay.
So that ended up doing really well, and I gained about, I don't know, 40,000 followers on Depop at the time. Depop was brand new, so it was a great platform for me. And then that did great, and I was just doing that consistently, and then I knew that I was going to come back to London.
Yeah.
So I needed to reevaluate what I was going to do. So I thought, okay, well, I'll start saying I'll give you free shipping if you follow me on Instagram. And then I updated my Instagram to be more fashion. I took off like my random pictures of my son in diapers, you know, and made it more fashion,
more of a focus,
more of an understanding. And when I came to London, I was working as a waitress and then I was blogging on the side, and I was so happy to be back in London. I gotta say, I was very happy. And then I ended up getting signed to Premier Models.
Okay.
So that was how my journey started. And my amazing agent really just took me on, and I ended up going full time from there and then growing from there. So it was basically a journey. It was a journey.
Yeah, it sounds like it. I mean, I've got to say, it's definitely one of the most unique and interesting stories or backstories to becoming kind of a content creator, an influencer, whatever you want to call
the
it.
The hustle
from,
was
yeah,
real.
Yeah, and from real despair, obviously, as well, which yeah. you know, I'm sorry to hear about, but it's an incredible journey.
It definitely made me stronger and it gave me a creative direction. I think when you go through times that are so hard and you don't see a way out, you that's when you get creative.
Yeah.
And that's where your creative juices come because mm-hmm. you're in a desperate situation.
Yeah, definitely.
And then doors can open from there. So I think that, you know, going through hard times is a really powerful thing if you allow it to be and you just use that time for your growth.
Yeah, if you can use it to influence you in that kind of positive way. But no, it's an incredible story. And I know you're remarried now.
Yes.
And your husband is also kind of starting to dabble slightly
yes,
in content creation, isn't he?
He's doing amazing. Yeah. I mean, he started a month ago.
Okay.
And he's just flying. Like, he is growing every day. He's doing amazing. Yeah. And I'm so proud that he actually took the step because he was anti-social media for his whole life.
Yeah.
He's never even had a social media account. So when I told him to get on and do it, I think he was surprised that the community is so vibrant and
amazing.
Real and he loves it.
Can we expect any collabs in the future?
Yeah, definitely. I was on his feed recently, like helping him get dressed on one of his videos and that was fun. I think we will. I think we're just trying to find out what kind of couple content we'll do together instead of like the regular content. I think we want to try and just try something different, but we haven't gotten that light bulb moment
yet. Now obviously what we've been discussing at the moment within social media has all been incredibly positive and so on. Now there are the kind of darker sides as well,
yes,
and with that can come things like, you know, negative comments or, you know, cyberbullying or whatever it might be. I mean, how has that affected you in any way and how do you deal with it when it does come up?
Well, it's funny because whenever I get like a video that's getting really bad comments and I've had some bad ones and it's usually body related for some reason.
But
whenever I get those bad comments, the negative comments, I actually look at it like, yes, I'm going viral.
Yeah.
Because the people who follow me and know me, they're not going to leave me bad comments. Mm. So I know that it's reaching a new audience and maybe people that aren't into my fashion or aren't into my makeup or style. And that's completely fine. But then I know that this video is reaching.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, yes, like the bad comments are coming in. Like, you know, like it's going. And that's what we all want. We want the video to reach. And especially with the algorithm right now, you know.
Yeah, exactly. But I guess it's the old saying that, you know, no, but bad press is...
it's better.
All press is good press or something like that. And I guess you're right. The way the algorithms work on social media now, the more people are commenting, whether it's positive or negative, and the more that reach is going to kind of be
out
there.
Exactly, the more it reaches. So I look at it as a positive. I think, you know, I'm not going to take on what everyone says. Everyone has their own opinions and they should have their own opinions.
Yeah.
So it really doesn't bother me. Yeah. No, it doesn't bother me.
Okay, good. And I mean, just touching on kind of, you know, your background again and the journey that you've been on, do you find, or, you know, what would you say to people that have maybe have been in similar difficult situations? Do people ever kind of reach out to you
who
know your story and
I get
support?
So many. I think because I'm very vulnerable online, especially in my stories, they know that my son has autism. They know that, you know, what I've been through with my abusive relationship, my marriage.
Yeah.
I have so many people that are really like reach out to me and like, oh, wow, I've been in this kind of relationship and in this kind of marriage, how did you do it? How did you get on your feet? How did, you know, so I just tell them, you know, do you have any support around you, like family around you that can help you? Because I know mine was very close, you know, and kind of just let them know how I did it. And and there's just been a kind of community around that. And like a lot of mothers saying, wow, my son has autism too. Like, I didn't know that that was happening. So I just think it's really great being vulnerable online and letting the true story out there so they know that we're not all like living this glamorous life. Like, we've all worked hard to get to where we are, and we have struggles and we have different things in our life that are very real.
Yeah, definitely. And I think you know, social media now is becoming more of an authentic medium, if you like. You know, gone are the days of the heavily filtered images and all that. There obviously is still some of that, but I think people are responding more to real online.
Yeah, I agree.
And again, you mentioned about kind of the positive impact of communities, and that's just seen so well online. And with something like, you know, with your son having autism and other people kind of reaching out to you for, you know, your opinions on things or all that added support. I mean, that's the beauty where it can be really,
really
good.
It really is. I think it's quite powerful as well. And people feel like they're not alone. And it makes me feel like I'm not alone when they reach out to me. I'm like, oh, wow, like you understand, you know. So it is a great community. And it's something that I love doing. I really do love hearing the views of the people who follow me. And it's wonderful.
Awesome. Okay, let's talk about Echo now.
Yes.
When you first heard that you might be kind of working with the brand and on this particular campaign, what excited you about the partnership?
I was super excited to work with Echo. Echo is Danish and I lived in Stockholm for a while. So I was just like, love the European, I love the brand concept, it's sustainable. They're aiming towards like incredible sustainability in the future. And also the styles are great, like they have classic good styles, good looks, and so comfortable.
So I can vouch for that. I am in a pair myself.
The leather is so soft and comfortable. So I'm all for Echo. I think what they're doing is great and
Awesome. And so you've obviously, you know, doing some work with the brand now. Is there any kind of other exciting things in the pipeline for you in terms of content creation coming up?
Well, I feel like I do want to step back a little bit from content, from what I'm doing currently. I feel like there is change on the horizon within my heart.
Talk to me a bit about that.
I don't really know how that's going to come out, but I do feel like we're planning to grow our family. So I think a lot more home things I would like to bring in. I just feel like there is change. Obviously, we all grow, mature, and you know, try different things. And I feel like I want to try something else, but I just don't know what that looks like yet. I don't know what that looks like, but it's inside of me, but I don't know how it's going to come out yet.
All right. So watch this space, basically.
Yes.
Brilliant. Well, before you get to the end of, you know, whether you are going to hang up the boots or not with content creation, you live in a beautiful area around here.
It's so lovely.
What are your favorite areas to create content? Is it here? Is it at home?
It's actually at my parents' house.
Okay.
So I think that's where I want to reevaluate too, because I love my parents' street so much, and it's where I used to live. So if you were following me like a few years ago, I've always been on the same street, and I actually still keep that street. It's like a hidden secret street.
Okay.
And I keep that street still in my content, and
amazing.
I just love that street so much. So I think that's my favorite spot. In the new house, I'm yet to find my location. We've just moved into this house and I'm still moving furniture around. So I'm just getting my bearings still, and I don't know the exact spot, but the area is gorgeous and there really is so many different places to shoot, but I do want to shoot more at home. So we'll get there.
But no, that's a really nice touch actually around the street that you kind of, where your parents are.
Yes.
It sounds like, just based on the kind of the conversation that we've been having now, that your parents are incredibly close to you.
And
very supportive of everything.
They really are. They've been so supportive through everything. When I first told them that this is what I was going to do or wanted to do, they were like, well, we will do anything, you know, to make that happen for you. So we ended up, when I moved back from France, I moved back with my parents and we ended up getting a house together.
Okay.
So that's when I was working in the restaurant as a waitress. They were looking after Maddie. They have been by my side helping me to get to wherever I needed to get to. And been right there with Maddie and they've been incredible. So I really couldn't have gotten to where I am now without my parents' help.
Oh, that's amazing. I mean, I think that the older we get, the more, for me in particular, the more kind of special I feel having parents that
oh my god, the parents are the best.
I also love hanging out with my parents.
My best friend.
Amazing. Okay, great. And then what I'd still love to kind of know a bit more, and we've touched on it to an extent, but like, What are you most passionate about? What drives you?
Well, my drive has always been my son.
Yeah.
He's driven me. I could do anything because I know that my son relies on me. And so that is what gets me out of bed. He just gets my drive going.
Yeah.
Completely. So I'm passionate about my family. I'm passionate about, I'm quite a passionate person, actually.
Right.
I love fashion. I'm passionate about the clothes. I'm passionate about the makeup. I'm passionate about photography. So I'm just everything that I do, I'm very passionate about, and I like to put my all into it.
Yeah.
I have a lot of drive.
Yeah, that's good. Just speaking about family as being a drive, I mean, I'm a first-time father of 10 weeks now.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
But it's a completely different ball game.
Yes.
When you wake up in the morning.
Yes. You have to. Like that gives you drive.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So are you sleeping?
A little bit. But again, you mentioned there around kind of some fashion and beauty stuff. Do you have a preference when you are creating content for the type of products that you might be using or the type of audiences that you're going to speak to?
Not really. So I wake up, my routine usually goes like I wake up and I get ready and I go to
So is this a day in the life of...
Okay, yeah, kind of. So I get up and then obviously I make Maddie, if we're going to go day in the life, I make Maddie his food, all that. And then I will get in the shower and I'll put my makeup on and then I kind of just feel the mood that I'm in at that time. Okay, I'm really enjoying putting my makeup on right now. Maybe we'll do a makeup video. Or, I've got some new clothes and I really want to wear that. And maybe I'll do a fashion video.
Yeah.
So I kind of go with the inspiration on how I'm feeling in that morning and in that mood. And that's really the only way I can work. If I give myself structure, I end up breaking it anyway.
Sure.
So.
And I think that comes back to a creative mindset, isn't it? You can't kind of shackle a creative to a routine or a structure. It's kind of how they're feeling at
it's
every
how I'm feeling.
Time. Yeah.
And so I just kind of start it as a normal routine, like get in the shower, do this. And then I'll just go from there and see what happens. And sometimes I just do one video. Sometimes I do six.
Yeah.
So it all depends.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. Now, last question for me. And you did kind of touch on it slightly earlier when you were saying how... don't really know what the future holds, but you know there's change coming. I mean, do you have an idea about where you see yourself in the next 5-10 years?
Never. I would have never seen myself here 5 years ago. I never. And I think that's the beauty of, just living day by day, because you just really, anything can happen in a year. I mean, look, I met Josh. And then 4 months later, or 6 months later, I got married.
Was
4 months
six
later,
months from
yeah,
meeting, love that.
4 months later, we were engaged. So, I never would have thought that year that I would have been married and living in the country.
Yeah.
So, I think anything can happen, and I don't like to put limits on myself or on my life. I just am open, and I just I have no idea. I have no idea.
That's cool. No, I love that. Now, you've obviously got a unique style. I feel like you're cooler than me when I walk next
really?
To you.
Really? No.
But where did your love of vintage come from?
I've always been into vintage. Since I can remember, I used to be obsessed with Greece and Greece 2 when I was 9 years old. Okay.
Yeah.
So I think it started there kind of. I guess, but when I got older, and I've always experimented with fashion, I've always been into fashion. Even in high school, I was very much into fashion. So I started experimenting more, and then I got really into it. And I ended up being part of the whole rockabilly scene in London.
Oh,
I
awesome.
Bought everything vintage. Everything was 1940s or 50s from eBay. So I went extreme, Even my mascara was from the 40s. I had this little compact with this little brush that you spray it, and then you put it on. So I just loved all of it, and I loved the movies, I loved the style. So that was really where it started. And
any particular style icons from that time?
Yeah, well, I always loved Jane Mansfield. She was my favorite. She's like a B-lister. Yeah, she was a B-lister actress in the Marilyn Monroe time. So she kind of looked like Marilyn Monroe, but she was not as popular. And she was always my favorite.
Yeah.
And I just loved all the old Hollywood and everything. So then I ended up working in vintage stores.
Okay.
And I worked in vintage stores in London, and then I worked in Stockholm, and then in LA, and then I was did my own vintage on eBay.
Yeah.
This was all when I was like 16, 17,
yeah,
up into my 20s. So I have just always surrounded myself with that environment.
Yeah.
And
something you've had a passion for since you were...
Since I was very young, very, very young. So I just kind of, I let that expression go into my youth. And now that I'm, you know, not a teenager anymore, I still love it.
Yeah.
And but I don't wear as much vintage as I used to anymore.
Okay.
I think because I just did that so hardcore for so long, it's quite nice having some newer pieces.
Yeah, definitely.
So I've kind of evolved.
All right.
And
but with with your more unique style, even today, wearing maybe less vintage,
yes,
you must be quite easily recognizable then on the street. If people that follow you, do they see you out and about?
No? I don't know. I mean, I get messages in my DMs like, oh, I saw you today in Starbucks, or oh, I saw you and your son. I've had that quite a few times.
Okay.
But they don't come up to me, and I feel like maybe I don't know, why don't you come up to me and say hi? Like, I've gone so many times, I've seen you in Soho, but they wait and message me. So so I don't know that I'm being noticed until like afterwards, so I don't really think about it.
Well, you definitely don't pull off a daunting feeling, you know.
No,
about
that's
feel
what
like
I'm
you'd
thinking.
Be very easily approachable.
Yeah,
so if anyone's listening or watching to this, go up to Gabby next time you see her.
Yeah, I mean, actually on the tube after Josh and I got married, someone came up and was like, oh, we saw your TikTok, and that was really nice.
Yeah.
That was sweet.
Okay. So finally, just talking about the vintage chic hairstyle. We've noticed you've gone from blonde to brunette recently.
Yes, I have.
Talk us through what's going on behind that. It looks very cool.
Thank you. Well, I've always, if you followed me for a long time, I've always been brunette. I've always had this haircut, but brunette. And then I thought, you know what? I'm bored of being brunette. Well, I'm not bored, but I just wanted to experiment.
Yeah.
So I went platinum blonde, and it was great. Like, it was really fun. But the maintenance...
Do blondes have more fun?
I don't know. I don't know. They spend a lot more time in the hair salon,
right,
that's for sure.
Yeah.
The maintenance was a lot. I felt like the maintenance was a lot, and I just decided, you know... I don't know. It just came and went. It was a phase.
Yeah.
It was a fling. I had a fling with the blonde. And so then I went back dark. And yeah, I'm really happy to go back dark. But my hairstyle, I feel like when I was living in France, that's when when I came back over here, I just thought I wanted to cut it all off and be free. Mm. And I love the French style. I love the French vintage style. So I kind of wanted to take a little bit of that life, a little part of me from living there, and bring it into my content, bring it into my style, into my feed. So that's where the whole like Parisian kind of vintage style came in, was because of that chapter in my life. So I felt, I kept it with me and felt inspired. And then every time I grow my hair longer, I seem to always cut it off again.
Right.
So, but I feel like my hair is like quite a thing on my social media. Like a lot of people love talking about my hair and the cut and everything. So it's fun. Yeah.
No, it looks great. I don't think people really talk about my hair that much on social media.
Oh, you got great hair.
Well, look, Gabby, I feel like I've learned a huge amount. I'm sure viewers and listeners will feel the same way. So. Thank you so much for taking a walk with me.
Oh, it was great. I had a great time today. Thank you.
Yeah. And for everyone else, if you want to subscribe for more of these podcasts, then you know what to do.